I've spent the last 2 weeks in Uganda. I finished my packing during the heady days of the World Series and the glorious aftermath of my beloved Chicago Cubs winning it all, and left the morning after my hometown held a parade that drew an estimated 5 million people, united in a way that Americans never are anymore, all wearing Cubby blue. When Russ met me at the airport last night, he bundled me up in a warm coat, gloves, a scarf, and a brand new baseball cap, the official Chicago Cubs World Series championship hat. Once I escaped the nightmare of a delayed flight on my way to Uganda, a delay that lost a day and a half of our tour, including my only chance to see an African shoebill and zebras, I spent 2 weeks away from news and snow and in the company of well over 400 species of birds, including Uganda's national emblem, the gray-crowned crane, which gave me some of the finest photo ops of my entire trip. I spent my birthday with mountain gorillas, and during my two-week adventure came upon iconic mammals including the African elephant, lion, leopard, giraffe, hippopotamus, chimpanzee, and a variety of monkeys and antelopes. In the coming weeks, my blog will be filled with photos of all these and more. And now I'm home. I got to spend time on a boat trip in one of the remaining protected marshes on Lake Victoria. November is within the rainy season, but the locals told us how unpredictable rainfall has been in recent years because of climate change. The water levels were distressingly low, something even a visitor from Minnesota could see, because the plants bore a clean mark where the normal water level is, which was well more than a foot above where the water level is right now in the middle of the wet season. The Ugandan government is working tirelessly to get people to plant trees and to exploit clean energy wherever possible to offset climate change. Uganda is a country where science and education are valued. We watched children every morning trudging long distances to schools. It reminded me of my own childhood when America valued education and worked hard to be competitive in the sciences. Our country was the first to the moon. Our scientists were the ones who found the vaccinations for polio, and the profit motive wasn't even on their radar. Salk gave all rights to his vaccine to the American people, not patenting the results of his hard work. But Uganda is far ahead of America in their understanding of what is happening and their willingness to roll up their sleeves and attack the problem as a unified nation, even as they are so far behind the U.S. in the wealth and capacity to make big changes. After hearing from so many Ugandans about the issue, it was disconcerting, to say the least, to come home to news that the next administration has named Myron Ebell to lead the transition of the EPA. Ebell is not a climate change skeptic. That at least requires an open mind to review the science. He's a political hack and lobbyist who out and out denies what the vast consensus of objective scientists and even big oil corporations around the world have learned, and what anyone with any historical awareness can see is already happening. In my school child years of the 50s and 60s, it was the competition between the U.S. and Russia that put these two nations ahead of the rest of the world, at least in rocket science. Now, with a new administration extraordinarily friendly to the Russian kleptocracy, we're taking huge strides backward in science. Ebell runs a think tank that defends the most dangerous pesticides and other pollutants, not based on science, but on the profit motive for some major corporations. Imagine if Richard Nixon had appointed to his cabinet someone who said the Cuyahoga River fires were actually good for human health and the environment. That would be the equivalent of Myron Ebell at the EPA. Coming home from a major adventure is always bittersweet, but I've never before felt the unsettling disappointments of this time after seeing a destitute third world country so far ahead of my beloved United States of America in science and the public and governmental determination to tackle the problems that face all of us. Donald Trump promised to get rid of the current system of lobbyists calling the shots, yet Myron Ebell is one of the worst lobbyists of all. I hope the people who voted for Mr. Trump call him to task for this egregious break with his campaign promise. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.